Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad I'm in Florida today because we are having a pretty nice day. And I guess some people are still thawing out from the big freeze. And we did have a couple cold days here. You know, when it's 50 degrees here during the day, we freeze. Because you get used to the tropical climate, but we have to have a little bit of cold weather here in Florida, because if you have citrus, it does sweeten it up. If you get a freeze, it helps to sweeten the fruit. So I went and picked one of my tangerines off my tangerine tree, which I probably have about 100 tangerines growing on the tree. And it was really tasty, nice and juicy. So it's about harvest time now for the citrus, which grows abundantly here in Florida. And we had a couple. I wanted to just go over. We are going to talk about anger today. When was the last time you were really angry? I had a little anger incident not too long ago, and I'd be interested in knowing what you would have done in my situation. But what does the Bible say about anger? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And today is playoff Saturday, so who's going to win? I don't know. It's a football game, and because it's a game, anything can happen. So we'll be sitting at the edge of our seats today, won't we? Do you think the Colts can beat the Patriots? That'll be interesting. And let's see, what is it, New Orleans at the Panthers? So we'll see. I like football. So I'll be watching the game today. Anyway, there was an interesting story. Now, you know, we get mostly everything from China nowadays. And don't you notice that, now I've been around for a while. I've been around for 64 years. So I've seen the difference in products that, of course, products that were made in this country. And now almost everything is made in China. So, for instance, like batteries, I've never seen such an incidence where batteries leak. The car battery's leaking now. The batteries that you put in your electronic devices leak. I even had... I had a cell phone a while back, a Sony phone with a camera, and it was just sitting on my table next to me one day, and all of a sudden it blew up. Now, it didn't go off and project anything and hurt me, but it did just start smoking, and and so that was the end of that. And then I only had the thing like about a year and a half. And when I called Sony, they said, well, too bad, too late. It's not under a warranty. So I can't believe the way things are made. Remember the day when you went to the store and you bought pots and pans, and the pots and pans didn't have rivets. This is a new thing now, pots and pans with rivets. I guess we have to wait until the Chinese learn how to make pots and pans. Thank God I have some here without rivets. They are hard to clean. I don't like pots and pans with rivets. So, also, have you noticed, like, silverware, the new silverware, I think every single manufacturer of flatware in this country has gone out of business. And you used to be able to buy silverware, and it didn't have rough edges, but now you could even get your silverware with rough edges. And it even might have radioactivity. Now, did you know that your stainless steel could be radioactive? I'm like, what? The only way that could happen is if they were using nuclear waste to make the metal, which a few years ago here in Florida, anyway, I don't know about the rest of the country, but we had a drywall shortage after one of the hurricanes, I think in 2005. And so they had to get some drywall from China, and they put this drywall in thousands of homes. Now, you would think, okay, drywall, why should I be afraid of drywall? Anyway, people's pipes started to corrode. The air conditioning systems were corroding the copper. And they found out that they were using, this is hard to believe, but leave it up to the Chinese. They were using nuclear waste to make the drywall. So people couldn't live in their houses anymore. Now imagine you just built a brand new, beautiful $200,000 house and you couldn't live in there because it was dangerous to your health. So what were you supposed to do? You couldn't sell the house. Nobody else wanted to live there either. And so there was an interesting thing, too, that I found out a couple of weeks ago about the stainless steel, that there was a recall on some dog food bowls. Now, you would think, okay, I'm buying this nice stainless steel bowl for my dog, or even they have them for birds. And so this is supposed to be a nice, safe thing I can use on my animal. Well, they found out that there was actually radiation leaking from these stainless steel bowls. So why do I want radioactivity on my stainless steel? Please, give me a break. So I would be very hesitant to use any type of a stainless steel product from China. Another thing, did you ever see stainless steel that stains? That's a new thing, too. Stainless steel that stains, and it actually will rust now. I never saw that before. Very, very interesting. But the thing is, even a lot of the medications and things are being made in foreign countries now. So when you have a factory in a foreign country, you cannot go to those factories. You don't own the land. You don't own the factory, so Americans cannot go over there to inspect or do quality control for most of these factories. So if you don't have anybody watching, it's funny how people won't do the right thing unless they're being watched sometimes. We're supposed to know, especially as Christians, what is right and what is wrong. So we should know automatically that we're supposed to do the right thing. But anyway, especially in these Chinese factories, nobody's going in there and inspecting how they're making things. They even had some dog products, like dog food products. Like, who in their right mind anyway would want to buy dog food that was made in China or dog treats or whatever. I don't think so. I think you'd be better off making your own. So dogs were dying from these treats that were coming over from China. So we're living in some kind of very perilous times, very dangerous times. You just don't know what's going to happen next. If you read the headlines every day and you see the, I'm just going to read a couple headlines to you. 110 million credit cards were breached over the Thanksgiving holidays at Target. 110 million customers. Somebody had hacked in to try to steal the PIN numbers. And yikes. It's like, why don't people just get a job and do the right thing, earn an honest living, and stop trying to steal from people? This is awful. Just awful. Now, did you ever think that you were going to see the day when they were going to legalize marijuana? I never did. Now they've legalized it in Colorado, and I don't know where else. Did they legalize it in California? They legalized marijuana. So there is a big flu outbreak out there, too. Keep yourself, like they say, keep your hands clean, and try to stay away from people that are coughing and sneezing, which is hard to do. But lots of flu. People getting the flu also from the flu shot. You know, if you get a flu shot, they're going to inject you with the flu virus. So chances are you might get the flu from the flu shot. So also you might get a little mercury and formaldehyde and aluminum. So I would be very careful about getting vaccines. And we've mentioned it on this program before about the aborted baby tissue being used in the vaccines. You can do a search online, vaccines from abortion, and you will find a list of ingredients. So don't get the chickenpox vaccine. There's no alternative to the chickenpox vaccine except getting injected with aborted babies. There's no alternative for the shingles vaccine except injecting yourself with a product that's made from abortion. This is not a big, it's not widely known. It's not being reported. In fact, a few years ago, I reported it to 700 Club, TBN, Daystar Network, Rod Parsley, John Hagee. I was calling all these people, and I was telling them about it, and I was hoping that they would publicize it, but they didn't care either. But, you know, they're always talking about how they're against abortion. Why they wouldn't publicize that information, I don't know. But they can reach a lot more people than I do. They have, of course, I've got a potential list, a huge potential listening audience. But television, you can reach a lot more people. And so I was quite shocked myself that they didn't care about the information. Why you wouldn't want to let people know that they could be injecting their little baby with an aborted baby, I would think that people should know that. And even after you tell people, I'm shocked that they're not trying to do something about it, and that I even told someone in my family about it one time, but they never did anything. They just went ahead and injected their child with these vaccines. But you have a right to know the ingredients. You have a right to know what's in whatever, if they're coming at you with a hypodermic needle, you have a right to know what's in it. So you need to ask questions, especially when it's your children. You wonder why there's such a high incidence of ADHD and all these brain diseases. Well, I guess if you're going to inject children with aborted babies, they're going to have a reaction. Anybody would. We're not, after all, we're not cannibals, are we? And there was also a study done that there is absolutely no autism with the Amish. And the reason was it was because they do not vaccinate. So until they come up with alternatives that are safe, I don't recommend vaccines. I'm not telling you what to do, but you do what you want. I'm only going to tell you the information, and you can find out for yourself. So here's another item in the news. Cell phones, 18 times dirtier than public bathrooms. Don't use anybody's telephone, especially their cell phone. Ugh. Most people never clean them, and so be careful. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Cell phones, 18 times dirtier than public bathrooms. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Here's another headline I thought was interesting. Woman finds wrong body in mother's casket. The mother passed away in a foreign country, and they shipped the body back, and it was the wrong person. So, and they don't know now what happened to their mother. Yikes. GM recalling 7,000 trucks for fire hazard. Did you ever notice now, too, this is another thing that we didn't see so much of years ago, and a lot of it has to do with these Chinese products, is fires from coffee makers, your dryer catching on fire, your toaster catching on fire, now your car catching on fire. It's like, what is going on? You know, Jesus said that it was going to wax worse and worse. And we are seeing such a disruption in society. I hate to see what's going to happen in the next 20 or 30 years when the workforce, a lot of the workforce is going to be made up, could be made up of cloned people, and the rise of GMOs. Someone posted a picture on Facebook the other day of a GMO bull. And it was a hideous-looking creatures, but they are actually making making things in laboratories, cross-breeding animals, and making these things. I don't know what they plan to do with them, but so we have the days are wicked, and people are wicked more and more because all they care about is money and how they're going to get money. And we know that God, as Christians, we know that God is going to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. So we don't have to steal. We don't have to manipulate. We don't have to try to con people to get money, because we know that no matter what, God Almighty himself will take care of us. We don't have to beg, borrow, and steal. The Bible says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. But people that don't know God are desperate. They're desperate. So they're devising all kinds of ways to steal from people. And so we see it. We see crime on the rise, violent crime on the rise. And for what? Because of the love of money. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit today about anger. Now, has anybody made you really angry lately? You know, it doesn't take much, especially if you watch these TV programs, these crime shows, you see that it doesn't take too much really for somebody to get really angry and then for them to do something that they could be really sorry that they did because they act in anger. And we know that the Bible says that you can get angry. You can't stay angry, and then you can't do something with your anger that's going to make you look like a fool. So I know just recently I had someone that made me very angry. And then I have to go back and I have to examine myself. Okay, I can't get angry and stay angry. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, because it doesn't do you any good. And let's look at a few scriptures here about anger. What does the Bible say? So we can't go wrong with God's word. The wisdom of God, pretty powerful. So I'd be interested in knowing, hearing some of your testimonies, anybody that's in the chat room, or even if you want to call in. And the call-in number is 914-338-1638, and you want to tell me about something that happened in your life, how someone provoked you to anger. Now, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't take much. And the devil knows how to make you angry. And so then how are we going to react as Christians when somebody pushes your buttons? Now, you know, of course, when you're driving on the road, you have all these crazy people on the road. When you go to the store, there could be people that make you angry. Your husband or your wife can make you angry. Your children can make you angry. And so what are you going to do with the anger? Let's look at a couple scriptures, especially Proverbs has some great scriptures on anger. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, you know how people bait you to get into an argument, and so then you want to defend yourself, okay? So then you start defending yourself, and then the words get heated, and then you're going back and forth and back and forth. Well, the person that's trying to instigate the argument, they're not going to back off because they're enjoying it, and they're even enjoying it more that you're getting angry. So that's when you just have to walk away. Now, it takes a little bit of training. It takes a little bit of training because we want to fight back. But the Bible says don't fight back. The Bible says to turn away. A soft answer turns away wrath. Okay, so it doesn't matter what anybody says to you or what they accuse you of or whatever. God knows the truth. And so God says he will defend you. He will take vengeance on your enemies. So you don't have to fight back unless there's a situation where you do have to do something legally now, I'm not against that. If you have to file a lawsuit against an unbeliever or somebody's accusing you of a crime you didn't commit, of course, then you have to get an attorney and defend yourself. But you're going to have, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have people accuse us of things that you never did or you never said. And so you can spend your life trying to defend yourself. And for the most part, it won't do you any good, because you ever notice that if you watch these court shows or some of these, and people get up and they testify, I know they did this, and they know what's going on inside your house, and, oh, the neighbor was a wonderful person, and he would have never done that. Nobody knows what goes on inside anybody's house. Only the people that live there, you'd be surprised what goes on inside people's houses that you don't know about and you probably shouldn't know about. But people sometimes get ideas in their mind of what you're like, and it could be the furthest thing from what you're really like. So you can't believe everybody's testimony about you. And even in the days now, the days are more and more wicked. So you see that if you say anything about homosexuality, all of a sudden you're a hater, and they put a label on you. So if you say anything to a family member or a friend about their committing adultery or living in fornication, they're going to get angry at you and accuse you and make accusations at you because it's a wicked and perverse generation. You know, they call evil good and good evil. So when you try to point out sin, it makes people very, very angry. And they can take that anger, and they're going to try to hurt you, because the unsaved person is going to try to get revenge. That's all they know how to do. You made me angry. You said something I didn't like. And so I'm going to get revenge. And I've seen people do that. I've even seen Christians do this, get revenge, try to get revenge on people and try to hurt them on purpose by making false accusations about them just to get revenge because they didn't like what somebody did. Well, you don't have any business trying to get revenge on somebody. If you try to get revenge on somebody, it's just going to boomerang back on you. So if you do it God's way and you do what he says to do, then you will come out victorious because God will protect you. But if you get in the flesh, you're going to make a mess out of it. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. He that is slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. But he that ruleth his spirit, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Wow. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's like, well, he did this to me, and he did that to me, and he did it, and he did it. Well, yeah, well, most of the time they don't know any better. I don't have that many dealings really with people that aren't saved, but when I have dealings with people that don't know Jesus Christ and I'm shocked at the way they behave and the things that they'll do. They'll go to any means. Just if you say one little thing to them to try to get even with you, you know, it's shocking, I'm telling you. And it's only going to get worse and worse. Proverbs 21:14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. So that's a little hard to do. It's like, you know, give the person who's making you angry a gift. It's a little hard to do, right? Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Yes. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Oh, yeah. Here's a good one. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Okay, how many times did somebody make a fool out of you? Because you got angry? Yeah, I know. I've been there, done that. So, yeah, okay. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Oh, boy. And so then the person that got you angry is laughing at you because they made a fool out of you. And, of course, then there goes your Christian testimony. Oh, dear. Now, it's really, really true. Now, the devil has ways of trapping you And so you have to be smarter than the devil. We're supposed to be smarter than the devil, and we're supposed to be smarter than the devil's children. So don't fall into their traps. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now there's another scripture about for parents, because don't provoke your children. Don't nag them all the time. Nag them. Provoke them. It's the Bible says don't provoke people, and then you're going to wonder why people lose it. Because you're constantly provoking them and nagging them. Okay, if you told somebody something once, maybe twice, that's enough. You don't have to keep reminding them 1,000 times about their sin or whatever, because you're going to make people angry. So it's okay to tell somebody something once. Like I said, maybe twice to remind them, but to keep saying it over and over and over, you're going to provoke somebody. And we're not supposed to do that. So we're supposed to know better than to behave like the sinners. Amen? But we're learning. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here in... For wrath, wrath is the same as anger. Of course, God said he is going to pour out his wrath, and here is Ephesians 6:4. This is the other one for parents. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, even myself, I'm somebody's child. I don't like to be provoked. I don't want my parents provoking me. Or don't keep reminding people of their past, of something they did 30 years ago or 35 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever. Please get over it and forget about it. There's nothing you can do about the past. You cannot change it. You cannot change the past. So you might as well forgive and forget about it. Because when we were born again, God forgot about our transgressions. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. So nobody else needs to be remembering anybody else's sins, especially something that happened ages ago. Just forget about it and go on with your life, and stop holding all this anger and this bitterness and this resentment. You know, it doesn't do the other person, doesn't even care. They're laughing at you. Because you're acting like an idiot. So just go on with your life and forget about it already. You hear these people, and they're in prison for murder, and so they ask them, how come you're here? Well, when I was 9 years old, somebody did something to us. Well, guess what? Everybody that's alive on this earth had somebody do something to them. Each and every one of us had people bully us. We've had people steal from us. We've had people lie on us. We've had people falsely accuse us. So there isn't one person that's alive on this earth that didn't have some kind of a situation in their life. But why do some people turn into murderers and some people are able to brush it off? I don't know. But I think it's something we have to work on. It doesn't come naturally to us to forgive, and it doesn't come naturally to us to keep our big mouth shut, does it? No, we want to fight back. So we have to learn these behaviors, and the best way to learn these behaviors is to take the Word of God and to wash ourselves with the Word and to get the Word of God in us, because then if we're doing that and we're not getting in the flesh, they used to say the word carnal, the carnal mind is enmity with God. So the word carnal comes from the word meat, carny. So, you know, in other words, you're a meathead. We're not supposed to be carnally minded. That's why we have to wash with the water of the word. Now, I'm talking to myself here, too, so I'm still working all this stuff out, and I realized that I better stay close to God so that when there's a trap that's being laid for me, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm going to remember what the Word of God said, and this way you won't be fooled. So you can look up those scriptures on wrath, on provoke, on vengeance. Let's see. Let me read a couple scriptures on vengeance. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So you don't have to get vengeance on people. And anyway, if you try to get vengeance, you might get yourself into trouble. So you're better off just letting God handle it instead of you trying to figure out a way to get back at somebody that hurt you. I don't think so. I think that God knows a lot better than we do about how to take care of your enemies. Yeah, he knows a lot better. So many times, and I'm glad a few times in my life where I held my tongue and I didn't say anything, and God just worked it out in my favor because I kept my big mouth shut. So let's do what God tells us to do, and you won't go wrong. You will not go wrong. Hallelujah. Let's look at this word, recompense. Now, recompense, you know, we want to recompense evil for evil and good for good. And here's a scripture I like with the word recompense, Romans 11:35, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. This scripture I like for the area of giving, where we think because we give God something, he has to give us something back. Well, he doesn't have to give you anything back. No, Romans 11:35. So recompense, don't recompense evil for evil. Don't try to pay people back. Don't sit up at night and try to think of how you're going to get even about to that person that hurt you. Because even when you're, you know, you see Christians going through divorce, and at one time they loved each other. These people actually loved each other when they got married. Most people that get married love each other. And then they go through a divorce and they hate each other. They hate each other. And then they're fighting, and they're spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on attorney's fees and going back and forth to court, and then they're fighting over the children, and they're making the children sick. And it's like, why can't you just sit down and try to work it out, try to talk things over instead of doing things the world's way? It's like the Bible said, remember, a soft answer turns away wrath. So try to, even if you can't talk to the person, you can have somebody try to mediate without all this back and forth. And I can't believe it. The lack of communication that we have, and we should be able to communicate with each other. If somebody's doing something that you don't like, or somebody's doing something to offend you, we should be able to tell that person without them getting angry what they're doing so that they don't continue to do it. But you find now if you try to correct someone or try to tell them they're doing something that you don't like, oh, they get very angry. And sometimes they act like they want to kill you. That's why we see, you see how when people commit crimes, most of the time it's because they're angry and they're bitter. So don't fall into the devil's trap. Just be slow to anger. Slow. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 2 Thessalonians 1:16. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So God's perfectly able to take care of your enemies. And he will. Even if it doesn't look like it, you know, you might be going through a situation where the situation has been going on for years and it doesn't look like it's ever going to be resolved. But God is there. And he is in the background, and he'll take care of your enemies. Now, has anybody ever had anything stolen from you? I know I have. And even before I was a Christian, I was up in the mountains in Colorado, and I used to like to go camping and hiking and that kind of thing. And I was camping out, and I had left my tent and gone for a walk or something. And when I came back, somebody had come inside my tent, and they had taken my things, my ID, and everything was gone. Now, usually there's like a code of ethics at campsites where people don't do that kind of thing. But anyway, a few months later, I was at church, a small little church up in the mountains of Redstone, Colorado. And a lady came up to me. She had heard my name, I guess, during the church service or whatever. And she came up to me and she told me, she said, Susan, I'm the one, myself and my friend are the ones that robbed your campsite. She said, I'm a Christian now too, and I have to confess to you what I did. Now, you know, what are the chances of that ever happening? Wow, that's amazing. So I pray that any of you that have had things stolen from you, that somehow, some way, God will get it back to you. And even the person that did the stealing, that someday they would come to you and tell you, like that woman told me, she was the one that did it. And she apologized. She said, I'm so sorry that we did that. And I'm hoping, because there's still some things that were taken from me, and I would like to know who did it. And hopefully that their conscience would bother them enough where they would want to do the right thing. Amen? So we can pray for our enemies. We can pray that God deals with them. There's a scripture in Job, and I can't think of it right now. If I can find it before the end of the program, I'll read it to you. But it says that God deals with people when they lay on their bed at night, that he can actually deal with people in through dreams. And remember that God even spoke to Pharaoh when Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. God dealt with him until he had to let the people go. So God can deal with your enemies. He can keep them up at night with conviction and bring you before them, even bring your face before them for the wicked and evil things that they're doing to you. And God can do that. So don't put anything past God. After all, he created the universe. He created man. He knows all about man. He knows how man thinks. He knows the wickedness in man. And God's ways are not our ways. So the way that we might do something That's not the way God's going to do something. His ways are past finding out, the Bible says. So we can trust God to act on our behalf and to make things happen that we cannot make happen. Here's that scripture I was talking about in Job 33:15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, and slumberings upon the bed. Let me see if I can get the whole one. But God can deal with people that have mistreated you and that have done you wrong, and even people that refuse to admit it. God himself can make those people admit it. You know, he can cause that to happen. So let's trust God today, and let's put the past in the past and move on to the future, because today is a new day, and tomorrow is a new day. So we can trust God. Let's see. Here's Job 33. For God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastised also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Now, we know that when you're in sin and you don't know God, that your life, for the most part, is probably miserable. You can't pay your bills. You're going bankrupt. Your boyfriend won't stay around. He won't support you. Your husband doesn't love you. You don't know what to do. Your unsaved husband. Because sinners, for the most part, are miserable. They don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. They don't have any joy. We do. We have hope. We have peace. We have joy. So we're not dealing, you know, when we're dealing with people in the natural, it's a whole different situation. But we have to try to remember that with God, all things are possible. And no matter what situation you're going through today, God will get you through it. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. And he is a miracle worker. I believe God does miracles. I've seen him do miracles many, many times in my life. God has done miracles for me, and he can do miracles for you. And I pray that God gives you a miracle today, a situation that you're believing for, an unsaved family member, that God will bring salvation, that God will send laborers to them. We pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, because where we can't labor sometimes, even with our own families, we can't labor because they don't hear us. God can send other people, laborers, into the harvest field to minister to the people that you can't reach. Because even Jesus, when Jesus would go about doing good, they would say, oh, that's only Jesus, the carpenter's son. So your own family will say that about you. Oh, well, that's only Susan, or that's only John. After all, who is he and what does he know? But God can send other people to them. And so let that be our prayer today, is that God works on our behalf, and that he keeps us from the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. We don't want the works of the flesh to be made manifest in our life, but we want the fruit of the Spirit to be made manifest in our life. And you can't go wrong when you do that. I'm just going to look up that scripture before we close, Galatians 5, and read that to you so that you'll have that word for today. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, long-suffering, not a short fuse, but long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So let that be a good word for you today. And we hope and pray for a miracle in your life today, whatever you need. I pray that God meets your needs today in a miraculous way, and that even the person that has been acting like they hate you will even speak a kind word to you. Or even ask for your forgiveness. That is also, that's a great thing when people can ask for forgiveness when they have offended you. So don't take an offense, please. And it's hard to pray for your enemies. It's not easy. If you don't want to pray for them in the natural, forget it. You don't want to do it. But the Bible says that if you pray for your enemies and do good, it's like pouring hot coals on them. So let's try to work it out and try to act like Christians are supposed to act, and let's be different from the world, amen? Because we are in this world, but we're not of this world, we're of another world, and that's the city called heaven. We are citizens of heaven. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, and I want to thank everybody that supports this ministry and by listening, and I appreciate you so very much. Don't forget our website, propheticnews.com, our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV, and if anybody knows anyone that designs websites or that can give me some help in that area, even with video production, I would appreciate it, because there are some other videos I would like to produce, and I need a little bit of help. I can do simple things, but I am certainly not a professional, so that would help me a lot. You can contact me at susan@propheticnews.com. I would appreciate it, okay? But most of all today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because the Bible says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You have to say it. It's not just enough because you were baptized when you were a baby. You couldn't talk when you were a baby. So you really didn't have anything to do with what church you belong to. Your parents belong to the church, so you know now it becomes your religion. You have to stand before God one day and give an account of your life. God's not going to ask you about me or anybody else, about what somebody else did. He's going to ask you about you. So you have an opportunity to get your life right with God today. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us is a sinner. We've all sinned. We've all missed it big time. But God can forgive you, and he can give you a brand new life That's what it means to be born again. The third chapter of John, Jesus said, you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. Then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's not baptism. That is confession with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and repentance, asking for forgiveness of sins. We believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. And he is coming again to judge the quick and the dead. So we look for his second coming. And it, like I said, has nothing to do with church membership. God's not going to ask you what church you belong to. He's going to ask you about his Son. No man cometh to the Father except through the Son. So you cannot have a relationship with God only through Jesus Christ. You have to accept him and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And so get out your Bible and start reading it and find out what God says, because it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It only matters what the Word of God says, because that's our guidebook for life. It's a beautiful guidebook, too. And truly, it's a wonderful life to be a Christian. Amen? God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.